It is Locked On Jazz for the 11th of March. The math that made it work for the Raptors and how it's changing the NBA. The Thunder, their insane clutch play, and how they've gotten to where they are. Plus two trends in the NBA that are changing the game and super interesting. That's coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. We are here for you each and every day, bringing you something unique and interesting, so make sure that you make Locked On Jazz part of your daily routine, the first podcast you listen to each and every day. You can get it on all of your podcast providers. All right, so the other night the Utah Jazz lost to the Raptors. And we talked a little bit yesterday about the Raptors' unique defense. And on the plane, Ron Boone and I actually dug into this a little bit and found some interesting things that then led to kind of another discovery and where the league's going. And so I want to kind of walk you through this. As you hear this, this should be, it's a little geeky and a little numbery, which you're not that, you know, it's not unusual for you to hear from me. But I think you're going to be, this is, to me, there were some wow moments here. There was like, wow, this is where the league's going. This is a pretty big change. There's some aspects to that. So what's unique to the Raptors is we talked about that it's seemingly they're doing something wrong. They're allowing the most catch and shoot threes of anyone in the NBA. They're allowing the second most amount of threes of anyone in the NBA. And in fact, there's this whole other phenomena, which we'll dig into, that's taking place right now, which could allow someone to maybe make the wrong observation about what's going on with the league. The teams that are allowing the most threes in the NBA are Miami, Toronto, and Milwaukee. So Miami, Toronto, and Milwaukee are allowing the most amount of three-point shots in the league, and yet all three of them are very good defensive teams. So what is taking place that in a league that's been so obsessed with getting threes, all of a sudden the number one, the number two, and then Miami is not quite as good. They're the number 14 defensive team. But the one and two defensive teams are allowing a lot of threes. What is taking place that's suddenly allowing threes in a league that has been so obsessed with getting threes and taking away the three is suddenly meaning that that's actually good defense? So here's what the Raptors do. The Raptors allow you to get threes, particularly corner threes, interestingly enough, while they deny you the rim and they force a bunch of turnovers. Okay? Let's look at it even without the turnovers. What the Jazz do on a regular night is the Jazz take 82 shots a night. In the other night, the Jazz took 82 shots. So on a game, if the Jazz take 82 shots, the Jazz take 32 shots at the rim, they take 20 shots in the mid-range, and they take 30 shots from three. In case you don't remember this exactly, if you shoot at the rim, you're points per shot are about 1.3. It's actually 1.27. If you take a three, all threes combined, it's 1.07, so a 0.2 difference. And then if you take a force teams into a mid-range shot, it's about 0.8 points per shot. And if you go to the free throw line, it's about 1.4. I used to always say, to simplify this, 1.4 is the free throw, 1.3 is the corner three, 1.3 is the rim, 1.2 is the corner three, 1.0 is your above the break three, and then 0.8 is the drop to mid-range shots, non-restricted area twos. Doesn't matter which kind, floaters. That's the math. That's the math that's changed the NBA, is 1.3 at the rim, 1.2 for a corner three, 1.1-ish for an above the break three, 0.8 I think I said it differently that time, but this is correct. 0.8 for the mid-range shot. That's the math. That's the math. That's what you're trying to. What's happened in the NBA, and we'll dig into this, is that the offenses have gotten smart. It used to be if you deny the rim, you'd get someone to take a mid-range shot. That was huge, right? So they now you're taking someone from 1.3 to 0.8 on every shot. You do that twice in a night, it's a point. A full point. A point's worth, you do a point every night, it's worth 2.7 wins a season. It's huge. Now what's happened is team offenses have gotten smart enough. You take away the rim, I'm not taking a 0.8 shot. I'm going to go take a three. And I'll dig in and show you how this has happened. So the other night, the Utah Jazz, whose regular 82 shots is 32 shots at the rim, 20 shots at the mid-range, and 30 shots for three. So 32, 20, 30. Okay, we distribute it out there. We ideally would like to be 40, 40, 20 percentage-wise. 40% of your shots at the rim, 40% of your shots three, and 20% of your shots is mid-range. That would be the best offensive shot distribution that you could find. However, just to make sure that's clear, there's only one team in the NBA that shoots 40% of their shots at the rim. That's the Bulls, and the Lakers are right there. And then there's only two teams in the league that shoot 40% of their shots as threes. That's the Rockets and the Mavericks. And the Minnesota's awfully close, and they do it at a terrible percentage. Houston has the best distribution in the league. They're at 36 at the rim and 45% at three. They're getting to the 80% of your shots not being to the mid-range shots. And Toronto has the second best offensive shot distribution, fourth in the rim, fifth at threes in the league. They take about 78% of their shots. Okay? So pretty interesting that you have Toronto, who's so smart offensively, analytically, and so smart analytically, is letting you take all these threes. So why are they doing that? Well, the Jazz, if they usually take 32 shots at the rim against the Raptors, got 20. So the Raptors packed the paint, sat at the rim, and didn't allow the Jazz to take shots at the rim. Kevin Pelton wrote an interesting piece a while back that was that teams dictate how many shots you take at the rim defensively and how many threes you take offensively. Like if you come into a game and decide, like Minnesota has, that recklessly, we're going to take 50 threes, you can get them up. There's really not a lot of defense can do. You just keep stretching back and stretching it out. Whereas if the Jazz decide tonight that the Thunder aren't taking a single shot at the rim, they probably can't get into a single because of transition, but in the half court, you just stick five guys around the basket, right? Give up every other shot. It's almost what Milwaukee's done. It's close to what Toronto's done. So instead of getting 32 shots at the rim, the Jazz got 20. Where'd those 12 shots go? All 12 of those shots became threes. This is really interesting. So in the old days, you take away the rim, guys take some twos, you really get a huge advantage. You don't get the advantage anymore. Teams are smarter offensively, the Jazz particularly. And so the Jazz ended up taking 42 three-point shots the other night because they couldn't get to the rim. They took their exact same amount of mid-range, 20, and they took 42 threes, and they took 20 shots instead of 32 at the rim. Okay? So what's the impact of this? Well, the average shot at the rim, as we talked about, is 1.27 points. The average three actually comes out to about 1.07. Okay? And if you take corner threes, it goes up a little bit. I'm really simplifying it. So the difference in those 12 shots where the Raptors say you're not getting the rim, but you can have a three, which seems crazy, is actually a 0.2 advantage to the Raptors every single time they do it. So for the game, the Raptors got a 2.4 point advantage by taking those 12 shots from the Jazz off the rim and two threes. You want to be on the rim. Can't get there. The Jazz did the right thing. Catch and shoot threes. You want to get them. Cost you 2.4 points. Kind of crazy. It's a lot. 2.4 is a lot. Now, part two of this is the Jazz shoot 66% at the rim for the season. Pretty high because of Rudy, right? So our rim accuracy ranks fifth in the NBA at 66%. And the league average, which we've been talking about, you've kind of been getting here throughout, is 60, little over 63%, 1.27 points per. Okay? Toronto's defense, with their incredible athletes, if you watched it the other night, every single time someone drove to the basket, Toronto is rolling into the paint, cutting you off. So Toronto is third best in the league at defending the rim at 59%. And we'll get into what Milwaukee's doing, because Milwaukee's taking this to a totally different level. That's why they're the best team in the league. Now, does that work in the playoffs? We're going to find out. So Toronto cuts you off at the rim and only allows 59% of the shots to go in. So the Jazz go from 66% of their shots at the rim to 59% of the shots rims now going in. And on that night, I think we were 11 of 20. We were right at 55%, which is even lower. But just go with the math for what they regularly do. They allow 59%. The Jazz were at 66. If the Raptors hold their average, which they did, on those 20 shots at the rim where they've now decided, okay, you're going to get 20 and we're going to defend the heck out of them. Donovan's going to go 1 of 10 on twos and 1 of 8 around the basket. That's now 0.7 points per shot. It actually times it by 2, 1.4 points per shot, or 0.14 points per shot, because it's worth 2 points, and it's 20 shots, that's 2.8 points. And that's where the Raptors get a 5.2 point advantage in that game the other night and win. And our offense looks bad because of it. We'll dig into this a little bit more. What can the Jazz do with it? Are the Jazz doing this right? Can we get better at it? And Milwaukee's math is incredible. And then how the offenses have actually changed because of this around the league. I don't know if you think this is interesting. I find it fascinating. You should have seen me on the plane. I was so geeked out about it. Only time I'm ever more excited is when I get a Mudslide cookie from the store. That's probably the only thing that gets me more excited than I was on the plane. I mean, that guy was just like a kid, literally, in a candy store. The store is not quite a candy store. It's a locals store. It's Utah's own, the store, located 6200 South and 20th East, also located down at the Gateway. The Mudslide cookie is just the best cookie I've ever had. It's chocolate cookie with chocolate inside with like this crusty outside with a perfectly like, it's amazing. And everyone who's gone and tried it has agreed with me on this. But the store is a bigger thing. It's part of the community. It's part of the essence of who we are. I love the store at 6200 South and 20th East. It's where the Olympus High and the Brighton High School kids are helping the elderly out with their bags and taking there. And you kind of feel that texture that is community. It also is where you walk in and all so many of the items are made by locals, because that's what Jeff and Scott are so certain to make sure is taking place, is that Utah has their voice. Whether it's something as fun as cotton candy or something as serious as June pies. I don't know how June pies just got serious, but the pork tomatillo pie is pretty seriously awesome. And you see the pico de gallo being made in the back. There's all, you walk in, to go to the right first. That's where the kombucha and the stand little places to get your kombucha, and then the bakery's over there and you get your Mudslide cookie and you can get all your other fun things. And then you work it around the store and you end up in the back corner where all the produce is at the end. It's absolutely fabulous. It's the store, 6200 South, 20th East, and then also downtown is the more urban version right across from the Gateway. Great place to grab your lunch. Hot lunches during the day, and then all of your grocery needs. It's the store, 6200 South and 20th East. So can the Jazz learn what's taking place here? They don't need to. The Jazz are actually the only team in the NBA that shot defense, because of Rudy, is the top five defending the rim and top five defending threes. Something really interesting is happening in the league. Ron Boone actually is the one who found this on the plane yesterday. So you can send Ron Boone a note at 10:41 straight on Twitter and say, great find on the stats, and call him a geek and see how he reacts. He will not like that, but it'll be really funny. 10:41 straight. Send him a little note. Way to geek out on the plane yesterday, Ron, and see what he says. He'll laugh. He won't know how to respond. I'll have to teach him. Okay, here's an interesting note. Last year, the top 10 teams in the league defending the rim were Milwaukee, Golden State, San Antonio, Orlando. We were fifth. and this is just denying shots at the rim. Of the top 10, four of them were also in the top 10 of denying threes. Three of them, Milwaukee, Miami, and Boston, were not good at defending threes, and three of them were in the middle. So it was really wide dispersion. Frankly, it leads me to think there were certain teams that kind of knew what they were doing better than anyone else in the league, that there was a little bit of an advantage there. Utah had the number one shot location defense, Golden State, Milwaukee, San Antonio after that, and Orlando. There were some interesting things there. Of the teams that had the best effective field goal percentage defense last year, of those teams, six of the top 10 effective field goal percentage defenses were the top six teams in the league at denying the rim. Okay, so six top teams denying the rim were also top 10 effective field goal percentage defense. You denied the rim last year. Okay, that was last year. And the threes, as we just showed, four of them were stopping threes, three of them were in the middle, and three of them were the 10. Go to this year. It's changed. This year, if you commit to defending the rim defensively, you allow threes. Unless you're one of two teams. The Utah Jazz, and interestingly, the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Utah Jazz are the only team in the NBA that is in the top five in rim defense and top five in three-point shooting defense, in the sense of denying those shots. The Milwaukee Bucks are not allowing any shots at the rim. They're revolutionizing the game. They're only allowing 29% of the shots at the rim, and then they're defending the heck out of those shots with Giannis and the Lopez twins, and they're changing defense in the league, and they allow the third most amount of threes in the league. They allow 39% of your shots to be threes because of the math we just talked about. Every time they deny you at the rim and allow a three, it's 0.2. But here's what's changed. If you deny the rim, you have to give up threes. Offenses have gotten smart. And this is a quantum change. Instead, if we now look at the top 10 teams in the league denying the rim, seven of the 10 are now in the bottom 10 of allowing threes. It also means that seven of the 10 teams in the bottom 10 of allowing threes are the best teams to defend the rim. Now, Sacramento is mysterious. They're 27th in the league in allowing three-point shots and 12th at the rim. New York's mysterious. They're 26th in the league at defending the rim and 13th in the league. And Charlotte is 25th and 27th in threes and 27th at the rim. That's just like so bad, it's incredible. So those teams are not very good. And then I think you could probably ask yourself whether or not David Fizdale, Luke Walton, and James Borrega are doing the right things coaching. I think that's, if I'm a owner, general manager, my team had those analytics, I'd be really upset. I think that's a legitimate question. I would want that explained to me. How about that? The Jazz are the fourth best team in the league at not allowing you to shoot at the rim at 32.2% and the fifth best team in the league at not letting you get a three. It's incredible. They're the only team in the top five in both. And in turn, the Jazz have the best shot distribution, defensive shot distribution in the league. Because of Rudy. Super important because of their defensive systems. And then there's a legitimate question here of whether the Jazz should actually even go more all-in on defending the rim. Like, would the Jazz be able to get Rudy to play in a manner where they decide they're only allowing 28% of the shots at the rim, and they allow more threes, and their shot location is even better than it is right now. But what's, and the second team is the Thunder, who are 9th in the league defending the rim, and 10th in the league defending the three. But what's really, really taking place here is that teams offensively have gotten smarter. And so therefore, when they get taken out of the rim game, they at least shoot a three now. And there's two other things that have taken place. Players are shooting the three deeper than they've ever taken it before. So there's too much ground to cover. It's actually becoming, and I think it will become entirely impossible, to defend the rim at the level that these teams are trying to defend the rim, denying, you know, Milwaukee's down at 29% of your shots at the rim. And at the same time, get out to three-point shooters. Now, what's interesting about a lot of these teams is they do fly at the three-point shooters and they can test them quite well. Toronto's the number one team in the league at defending the actual shot. Miami's the number two team in the league at actually defending the shot. Milwaukee is not as good. This might just have to do with talent, because you look at the teams. Milwaukee's 19th in the league. The discrepancy, we've talked about this a lot, on three-point shooting defense is not great. It's not a big. There's not a wide margin. Take out the top teams. I always take out the top three and the bottom three in case there's outliers. In this case, there's actually not. The best three-point shooting defense in the league is Toronto at 34.3. Denver's at 34.74, so it's not a big deal. You go to the 27th team in the league, they're at 38.2. There's actually only about a 3% difference between the best and the worst. Now, okay, that matters over 100 shots. Over 30 in a night, the 3% difference is like 1-3, right? So if you're allowing 30 threes in a night, 40 threes in a night, we're talking about 1.1, 1.2 more threes going in, which is 3 points. It matters based on the quality of your defense. Not a lot. Much more important just to deny the rim. And that's where the game is right now. So teams have gotten smarter. Guys have stretched it out. And now when you defend the rim, you allow the three. And Toronto's math the other night worked. I'll get into Milwaukee's math because it's even more extreme. Hopefully you find this interesting. I love how the game is playing and how it's evolving and then the uniqueness to what the Jazz are able to do. What's interesting on this is, like, we're the number one shot location defense in the league, and we're about 15th in the league defensively. Imagine if we weren't analytically this good. We don't force turnovers, and that has an impact on why we're not great defensively. We also aren't big, so we don't have a huge impact on shots, so we're forcing people to at least shoot in the right spots. Okay, we'll look at Milwaukee and then another trend that's changing in the league. It's really interesting, and I'm not sure I understand it. The real estate world is changing time and time again. And right now it's being revolutionized by some guys out of Provo. Homie. You see the homie blimp running around the arena dropping money? Well, that's kind of what they're doing for all of us. They're just saving us time, money in commission after commission after commission. This all started out of BYU Business School. Actually started with Entrada, a property management program. And then when they were done with that, they looked at what other market could they have an impact on. And they've done it. Over the last 3 years, Homie is selling homes for more money and 8 days faster. Last year, they did over $1 billion in real estate transactions, saving over $50 million in commissions for their users. Homie. They're, on average, saving sellers $10,000 per home. It's amazing. It's pretty incredible to see a Utah company doing this. Now expanding out into other areas as well. Text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. It's worked so well in Utah that they are now taking it into other markets so that other people can take advantage. It's going to be, we're going to remember when Homie started here and then proceeded on. Text LOCK, L-O-C-K-E, to 88588. Both buyers and sellers of homes save with Homie. That's LOCK to 88588. Milwaukee, number one defense in the NBA. Not even close. Like, it's stunning. Milwaukee allows 101.6 points per 100 possessions. Toronto's next best at 104.9. Excuse me. So Milwaukee's defense is 3.3 points better than the number two defense in the league. And they are 8 points better than league average. It's pretty incredible. The difference between 2 and 26 is the same as the difference between 1 and 15. How are they doing it? Taking this commitment to not allowing shots to the rim at an incredible rate. So let's look at it. First, the frequency. So the league average, you take 35% of your shots at the rim. Milwaukee's allowing 29% of the shots at the rim. So over a course of a game with 80 shots, they're allowing you to take 5 fewer shots per game at the rim. Again, if you just move those shots to threes, that's a point every night. And then they take it to the next level. They are defending the rim at 54.7%. So not only have they taken a shot that a league average is 63.5%, and that is regularly worth, as we've talked about, at 63.5%, that shot is 1.27, 1.3 points per shot. They've turned that in, and all of a sudden, instead of worth 1.3, theirs is worth 1.1. So not only are they taking 5 or 6 of your shots and moving them to threes, then on the 20 shots you're still getting at the rim, maybe 22, 24, they're saving 0.2 points on every single one of those shots because they're that committed to defending you at the rim. They're at 54.7% defending at the rim. The next best in the league is at 59. They're 5 percentage points better than anyone else in the league defending the rim with Giannis and the Lopez twins. The fact that you can shoot threes on them, they just don't, like, the math works. Let them shoot a three. Don't let them, but you don't have to contest it that much, frankly. They also, interestingly enough, are the best in the league at defending mid-range shots because they force you into these short little floaters because you can't get to the rim and nobody makes them because they're long and they actually contest. So they get out and contest these shots, but they never let you get to the rim. So they're actually, the interesting thing on them is they're actually the best defensive team on all the mid-range shots also, which adds a little bit more to this math. Their personnel is unique. They're physical, they're big, they got these 3 7-footers. They can do a lot of things other people can't do. But the simple math of just that commitment to denying the rim is amazing. And so they're taking those 5 to 10 shots a night and moving them, and that's saving them about 2 points a game. And then you take the fact that you average 1.2 points less per those 20 shots of the rim, that's another 2.5, 3 points. That's how Milwaukee becomes great. Kind of interesting. Here's another one that's a little bit interesting. The league has changed in what guards are able to do. Found this yesterday. So when guards go to the rim, they're being fouled 8.8% of the time. 2 years ago, they were being fouled 12.3% of the time. So not only are we defending the rim better, but now when guys go to the basket, either verticality, the way we're calling it differently, I'm not entirely sure, players are not getting fouled at the rim anymore. Particularly that of guards. Kind of surprising. So a guy like Donovan, I mean, Donovan's got to be better at this. I could dig into Donovan. But generally, players are suddenly not getting fouled at the rim nearly as much. What's also interesting is, you know where you do get fouled? You get fouled in the paint non-restricted area. You don't get fouled at the rim. If you're at the rim, they're doing verticality, you're not getting a call anymore. Or they're not fouling you. You get fouled on your drive, putting your body into a guy. 20% of all scoring opportunities in that area are fouls. So if you're going to draw fouls, you got to be like Harden, where you're doing it in the paint, non-restricted area, before you go up for the shot. But if you're trying to draw the foul at the shot, you're not getting the call anymore. or you don't get the call, period. It's a really interesting kind of flip. In fact, you get a better foul rate on a floater than you do a shot at the rim. Now, some of that could be a lot of shots at the rim by guards or fast breaks. There's no one around. They lay it up and in. They're not all half-court sets. There's some other pieces to this puzzle that distorts these numbers slightly. But the bigger issue is you draw your fouls in the paint non-restricted area. All right, Thunder are 40-25, and here's all you got to know about the Thunder. They are far and away the best clutch team in the NBA. If this game is close late, what Chris Paul has done with his team is unreal. They are the number one offensive team in the clutch this year. They are the number two defensive team in the clutch, final 5 minutes within 5 points. And they are just, they are 40-24 because of their clutch play. They're 29-13 this year in games or within 5 points with 5 minutes left. They are also, interestingly, only 10-19 against above 500 teams. So they have not been winning games against above 500 teams. We're 13-14. They're 10-19. They're also, by the way, for whatever reason, a terrible third quarter defense. I think teams adjust to their over-trapping and figure out how to play it. But listen to these offensive numbers late game. Chris Paul, final 5 minutes of a game within five, 54%, 36% from three. Gallinari, 43% from the field, 45% from three. Schroeder, 51% shooting. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 58% shooting. And Steven Adams, 14 of 20, 70%. Those are their guys. Chris Paul's 94% of the line. Gallinari's 93% of the line. Schroeder's 91% of the line. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's 78. Steven Adams is even 70. Dennis Schroeder's the only guy that doesn't make threes late, or does Terrence Ferguson, who's generally not on the floor. It's incredible. You get in the last 3 minutes of a game within 3 points, even harder shots, and they're still great. Chris Paul's 1 of 9 from three. Shoots 48%. Dennis Schroeder, 52%, 43% from three. Gallinari's a little less good. Steven Adams is suddenly 11 of 13. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is 8 of 10 and 13 of 17 from the line. It's amazing. And that's what's allowed them to win so much this year. Hope you enjoyed that Geek Fest. That is Locked On Jazz today. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for tuning in. Now, on this Wednesday, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. It's a great show. If you're not listening to it, he does a great recap of every game, and he does all the fantasy stuff for you. It's Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. So tell your smart device, play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On Fantasy Basketball.